Welcome in, Curious Pet Parents. Man, have we got a show for you today, as we're going to be welcoming Mikkel Becker, lead trainer at Fear Free Pets, to the podcast. We're going to be discussing the causes of fear, anxiety, and stress in pets during veterinary visits. Then, Mikkel is going to share some tips for preparing your dogs and cats for a trip to see the vet. So grab your snackle box and let's get started with the Family Pet Podcast. Welcome into the Family Pet Podcast, the podcast for curious pet parents, where we believe the more you know about pet healthcare, the better pet parent you'll be. I'm your host, Michael Shirley, and joined once more by Brother Steven.
Hello, Michael.
I was trying to think about what this would be the last podcast that people see with me with a beard for a while.
Yes, that is right. The next time that we record, you will
I'll be clean shaven. I am not afraid.
Are you going to explain why?
Well, sure. I'll even put a link in the bio.
Absolutely.
And I'll put a link in the show notes. Every year, I think this is, I don't even know, maybe my...
It's like 10?
No, goodness, maybe like 12 or 13.
Okay, I thought you were saying shorter. No. I knew it had been a lot.
So for the past many years, around St. Patrick's Day each year, I shave my head to raise money for St. Baldrick's Foundation. It's an organization that provides funding for research to cure and fight child cancer. So every year for St. Baldrick's, we shave our heads. So this is something that I started when I was a teacher at Riverdale and have just continued on over the years. So yeah, so there's a link in the show notes. You can make a donation to the cause if you would like. I was going to say that I am not afraid to get my hair cut. Some people are. Did you know that? There's a phobia for
everything.
There's
a phobia of getting your
haircut. Yeah.
I think of like Chihuahuas and their nails getting trimmed.
Yeah. And there's definitely dogs and cats that are afraid to go to the groomer. But yes. I am not one of those. So today we're going to be, this is our terrible segue into today's topic. We are really excited to have another great guest joining us. Mikkel Becker is here from Fear Free Pets, and she's their lead trainer. She's here to talk to us about fear, anxiety, and stress that pets experience when they go to the vet. Mikkel, thanks for joining us.
Oh my gosh, well, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
All our listeners can go back to season one in the early days.
In the before times.
That's right. We had Dr. Marty Becker, if you might remember that. That last name sounds familiar. And that's because Mikkel is Dr. Becker's daughter. So they're keeping it in the family. So he's doing the medical stuff and you're helping with the behavior and training.
Exactly.
How did you get... Did just growing up, was it just always like that was your thing, was dog training?
You know, I really wanted to be a broadcast journalist. That's what I really wanted to do. So like even in my yearbook, I have in there, I want to be the next Diane Sawyer. And that was really my dream. And then I really fell in love with her. My dad used to do Good Morning America as their vet. And so I fell in love with Diane Sawyer. But it was really interesting as I'm in college for broadcast journalism, and it's the 30th anniversary party for Good Morning America. And we're there watching, you know, Larry King and all these like different famous people coming in. And finally Diane comes in the room and it's just like my hero. But of all things, she actually came right up to my dad and I. We were sitting there at the bar and she comes up right away. And the day before I'd had her sign a shirt that said the next Diane Sawyer, and she put on there, aim higher, you'll be the best, Mikkel. And which is really sweet of her. But she came up and she's like, you know, Mikkel, I've just been thinking, she's like, I don't think this is the right job for you. I don't think this is the right career. She's like, it's dog eat dog. It's cutthroat. You know, people are, you know, just, it's so competitive and you're just too nice. You're too nice of a person. And so it really hit hard and I'm like, gosh, I don't know what to think about that. But then it also coincided with different changes where there's a lot of syndication. And so it, you know, lo and behold, I ended up graduating in intercultural communications. And then from there, my dad's like, you know, you've always had this love, this passion for animals and for behavior and just training. And so I didn't ever think I could actually do it as a career. And just through my dad's encouragement and just his guidance and just the general love of pets we've always had, I ended up doing a career in animal training and animal behavior. And so it's really honestly like the perfect fit. I love what I do.
So she took a degree in intercultural communications and took it to interspecies communications.
Oh,
I mean, aim higher even. That's great. That's well done.
I like that. I never thought of that tie. That's awesome.
There you go. Sometimes I'll come up with a good idea.
So you've been involved with the Fear Free organization, I would assume, since its beginning, in one way or the other. Can you explain to our curious pet parents that maybe haven't heard our episodes about Fear Free, what is Fear Free and why is it important to the veterinary care of our pets?
So Fear Free is all about protecting the emotional well-being of the pet during the delivery of physical care. So a lot of times, especially in the past, a lot of times physical care was done sometimes at the expense of the emotional well-being. So sometimes pets were really stressed and they were held down and overly restrained and became really fearful. And a lot of times care became more difficult over time. The pet struggled more, a lot of times could become aggressive, and it just became really, really stressful for pets to go to the vet and really stressful for pet parents to bring their pet into the vet. And the stress of the pet and the stress of the pet parent were two of the very top causes that were keeping pets from going to the vet as regularly as they should be. So Fear Free was and is all about reducing fear, anxiety, and stress for pets during care. And really the main focal point started off in veterinary care, but it's also gone to grooming, to training, pet sitting, boarding, and daycare. So a lot of different avenues as well, shelters now too. And what it is it's all about protecting that emotional well-being and the physical well-being as well. So it's really, those two are so closely related, just really intertwined with one another. So it's really important we protect both. So Fear Free is a certification program for professionals to help reduce fear, anxiety, and stress, and different practices and principles that they can use. And then also for pet guardians, there are different ways that we can also help to reduce stress for our pets during home care or trips to the vet, groomer, or other places.
So you mentioned these, it's like a whole community or ecosystem of Fear Free professionals. What are some of the things that pet parents might see consistently delivered across those different platforms, like a Fear Free shelter where they go to adopt a pet, then they take it to the vet, and then they take it to a groomer or a dog trainer? What are some common themes that they would see that all of those different deliverables share?
So definitely less is more when it comes to handling and restraint. So less is oftentimes more. So a lot of times keeping the pet really comfortable, keeping them relaxed, letting them feel safe. So non-slip surfaces, for one, would be one way to help pets to feel more secure. Being able to examine them or handle them in areas that they're already comfortable rather than placing them up perhaps on an elevated slippery table, we can a lot of times do a lot of the care in a different place where they already feel relaxed. Lots of treats, lots of play, toys, happy, feel-good things. We really want the pet to be in a positive, happy, emotional state and really addressing the stress that occurs. So rather than overlooking it or just powering through the procedure anyways, it's really stopping, assessing, and addressing it in a way that can help to combat that situation in a way that works for the pet and then also works for the professionals, because it actually keeps the professionals and the pet guardian safer too at the same time.
All right. I guess I want to step back, and that's one of my favorite phrases.
Yes, it is. I'll hear that.
Always like to take a step back and look at something. Can you just explain why our pets might be afraid of visiting the veterinarian?
Yes, definitely. So especially when it comes to kitties. So a lot of times cats, really the primary places they go out of the home, it may be in some cases, maybe boarding, maybe grooming, but usually it's to the vet. And for them, it's taking them out of their familiar place, the place that feels and smells and looks, it's all home. It's all that familiarity. They're taken out of that space. They're transported in a way that a lot of times can be really scary. So traditionally, even when you see people carrying the carrier into the vet, sometimes it's swinging. So the cat's almost on this unwanted roller coaster ride going into the vet, yet swinging back and forth, sliding around. So it can be really stressful. And a lot of times the cat too is going to dodge that carrier. So they're going to hide under the bed. It's a lot of times they're forced into the carrier. So it's a stressful process before they've even reach the veterinary office. And that's why we always say that Fear Free really does begin at home. And the pet guardian plays a major role in helping to create a more Fear Free visit. But at the vet, there can be a lot of different things that happen that can be really scary to them. So having other animals that they come in contact, different smells, sights, sounds, a cat, for instance, or a dog in a waiting area. Waiting areas can be extremely stressful. It's that stew pot of stress for a lot of pets. So they, a lot of times, are very, very stressed before the veterinary nurse or the veterinarian has even really laid hands on that pet. So, and then when it comes to the actual examination or any of the procedures, sometimes it can be painful or invasive, or it can be something that, you know, the pet, especially in the past, sometimes was held in kind of precarious or uncomfortable positions to make it easier for us to provide care, such as in the past, perhaps laying the dog down on their side, holding them down for nail trims. Whereas now with Fear Free, we can find more comfortable positions and really, really make it a more voluntary care experience. But a lot of times the pet doesn't know what's going to happen. They don't know that the pain is going to go away. It's just scary, unknown people. And a lot of times also that familiarity is taken away from them. So they're brought into a new place, different smells, sights, and sometimes taken away from their pet guardian. So that can be extremely stressful to them.
Fear Free started a practice certification program a few years ago. Family Pet Health, where we work, is a Fear Free certified practice. And so there are many Fear Free veterinarians around our area, but we are the only certified practice. Can you tell people what they might expect when going to a Fear Free certified veterinary practice, that kind of maybe some differences that they might see?
Oh, for sure. So there are some major differences, and I love hearing that. That's such an awesome thing. So congratulations on that. So with a fear-free certified practice, really all of the staff is fear-free certified, from the front desk to the back of anybody that's even just attending the kennels, or if you have any groomers or walkers or veterinary nurses, veterinary assistants, everyone really is well-versed in fear-free. So there's that same education throughout, and also the customer service representatives, that they also know how to speak to the pet parent in preparation for that visit. So it's really this entire system working together to protect that pet's emotional well-being. And when there's an individual that's certified in a practice, they can still provide fear-free, but it's a lot more challenging because they have so many other factors that are at play. And a lot of times not everyone's on the same page. And so with fear-free practice certification, there are lots of different modifications in terms of how different behavior issues are addressed, for instance, and what trainers do we refer out to and partner with. And then also, you know, what is the pet's experience for check-in throughout the whole visit? How do we combat stress if the pet stress levels start to rise? Like there's a given protocol that a hospital can decide on this is how we're going to address stress for these dogs or for these cats. So it's a really awesome way to know that your pet is really taken care of from even before they even step a paw into the hospital. Their emotional well-being is already really being cared for and catered to, and they are in an emotional bubble wrap of sorts, as my dad likes to say.
Yes, Stephen works a lot with our CSR team. We send pre-visit questionnaires where we talk about how does your pet respond to a car ride? How does your pet respond to coming into an exam room? And we tell people when I give tours here that the difference starts in our lobby, because we don't have seating in our lobby at all. We were able to add 3 exam rooms for the square footage that we would have had a waiting room. And so just allow people to wait in their cars, or they come straight in and get into an exam room. And then here we keep the pet in the exam room unless it's absolutely necessary to take them out. Like you said, every time they move to a different room, they have to reacclimate, and that can be really stressful for them.
So, Mikkel, as some of our listeners anybody who comes to our clinic obviously is much more familiar with Fear Free, but I don't think our listeners from Greece have ever been to our clinic.
I don't know. You got not any that, certified practices in of. Greece that you know of?
Not that I know of, but that would be very cool.
We have some listeners in Greece. But if people are listening from across the country, across the world, and they are interested in Fear Free and maybe finding a clinic or
just preparing their own pet for their vet office.
But in the visit itself, not because we're going to ask you tips to prepare your pet, but in the visit itself, what can the client or the pet owner do in the exam or in the visit to kind of facilitate this process as well, or join with a veterinarian who is practicing fear-free medicine?
Well, I would definitely recommend looking at fearfreepets.com or fearfreehappyhomes.com, because we have zip code searchable directories where you can find a fear-free certified practice or find fear-free certified professionals near you. So that's really the place to start, because you really want to have a team that's really invested in your pet's emotional well-being and really understands how to address that properly. So that would be a really great place to start. And then for sure, during your visit, I would highly recommend bringing your pet's favorite treat. So I have what I like to call, even with my own pets, even though I go to a fear-free certified practice and they're amazing, I still take my own snackle box is what I like to call it. So it's this little kind of a tackle box of sort that's filled with all kinds of their favorite goodies. So, and that's like the main place that they get it is right there at the veterinary visit. And so some of those really good high value treats that can be really helpful. And even as you're waiting, as they're settling in, we can do just little treat toss games to get them acclimated to that area. And talking to the veterinary nurse, to the veterinarian about how your pet likes to be approached, how they like to be handled, if they have any triggers. So you mentioned a lot of times before the visit, there are some questionnaires that can be sent out. So we can give information on what stresses our pet out and also get some feedback on things that we might do to keep our pets calmer. And in some cases, we can also do pharmaceutical and nutraceutical help. So sometimes pets are just so highly stressed and so agitated in that fight or flight type of mode, it's really hard for them to calm down and have that higher level thinking and also, you know, be able to really be in that good learning space to have a positive experience. So a lot of times that's where we can work with our veterinarian to help give our pet a chill pill of sorts that can just help them to relax a little bit, take that edge off, and help them to be more receptive to those positives that we employ during that visit.
So something I hear you say is communicate to your veterinarian, especially if you're visiting a veterinary, a new clinic, a new place for that first time. My dog Maverick, if we walked in, everybody like, this is the most fun dog. He just wants to play. And if I didn't warn somebody that the moment he sees a needle, he flips a switch.
He's out. He's level 5 fast score.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, he's a German Shepherd mix. So he's got big teeth. But telling somebody beforehand so that they can be aware, I feel like that would be pretty important for an individual.
Please communicate.
Talk to your vet. If you know of a trigger, if you know of a past history, to please tell.
Yes, absolutely. No, and I love that. And there are so many things we can do. So like you said, like the side of the needle, sometimes it's, you know, being able to, you know, use really happy, really feel good distractions, or going to that touch equals treat type of timing where we're building up to doing that injection. A lot of times we can even do something like my dad likes to do a cloth that's already impregnated with calming pheromones, hiding the needle under that. And so a lot of times the pet doesn't even necessarily need to see it. Or for those pets that really want to check it out, we can even turn that into a trick of sorts. So a behavior called check. So check is where they basically touch their nose to a new object. And so it becomes a game of sorts. And so a lot of times we can build that familiarity with that item. And basket muzzle training is great. So I have two dogs who really have never shown aggression at the vet, but I still have them basket muzzle trained because it gives me so much more freedom. And it's something I really highly advise to my clients. It gives you and your dog so much more freedom at the vet and really helps to just kind of provide some ease and that kind of reassurance. And it's not something that they necessarily have to have on all the time, but if you ever do need it, it's much better that your pet is already really happy and relaxed and likes wearing their muzzle. So both of my dogs love, like when the muzzle comes out, they are like so excited and it's a fun game for them. So really turn it into muzzle training games. And so that way, if we ever do get in that situation where it would be beneficial, we have that tool on hand. So it's almost like that seatbelt. It's good to have it if you ever get in an accident, but hopefully you never are in that place where you do get in an accident. So hopefully we avoid ever being in that position.
I want to see Dolly barking in the muzzle.
Yeah, that's my daughter's Havanese.
She should be muzzle trained. Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Dolly
barking.
I love that. That's so cute.
She's a good little dog. So, all right, let me ask you, this is going to be for our TikTok highlight reel. All right, are you ready?
All right. So okay. Is there a way to so we've got AI on our recording system, but we've got to figure out a way.
The M marks.
Well, but I can't reach the computer.
Too far away. Okay, here we go. All right. Mikhail, what are your top three tips to prepare a dog for a visit to the vet?
So bring your pet's favorite treats. So have that snackle box already prepared for them. And then also we want to be reinforcing quite frequently. So a lot of times one mistake people make is not treating enough. So we really want to be treating ideally at least 6 times per minute, and little tiny treats, little licks of treat or little pea size treats, so that way we can feed them a lot without them getting full, but that can help to keep them happy and relaxed. We can play games where we toss the treats out as well, so it gets them moving and helps them relax and explore the room. And then also bringing a treatment station for them. So that's just a non-slip surface. Mm-hmm. It could be a yoga mat, bath mat, and that becomes their security blanket of sorts that can really travel with them throughout the entire visit. We can place it up on the scale to get a weight. We can use it in the exam room as their happy place to be examined. So those are some helpful fear-free tips right there.
What are your top three tips for preparing a cat for their visit to the vet?
With cats, we want to make sure that their carrier is a happy, familiar, feel-good place. So we want to leave their carrier out so it's at frequent, fun furniture. So ideally, we can even leave the lid off or the door open so the cat can freely go in and out. We can feed them their meals nearby the kennel or carrier or just inside of the lip of it. So that way, the cat goes in there to actually start eating their meals. We can scatter some treats or catnip or toys in that area, play with them with some feathered toys. So get them really comfortable and used to that. And then also on the trip to the vet, when we secure the carrier, if it's not one that's approved by the Center for Pet Safety, one way that you can help to prevent some of those slip and tip moments that can be really scary is to secure it behind a passenger or driver front seat. So you can also put a towel over top three sides to help reduce some of the visuals that the cat is exposed to, give them that ability to hide. And then we can also use calming pheromones too to help provide that sense of calm to that cat. And then also providing some more neutral noise or some calming music for them. You can play that in the car, and then that can also travel with you into the hospital. So sometimes you can play it on your phone if it's not already being played in the exam room for your pet.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes to some friends of ours from Sleepy Pod. They have some really cool cat carriers. I'm trying to get them on the show. So if you know anybody there, tell them that they need to join Pet Podcast.
I know who I'm going to hook you up with away. So
good.
Let's go.
Well, we've been trying to line that up, but we haven't been able to. But those are the coolest cat carriers, and they have some for dogs as well. Really good. And they're safe.
Super safe as far as car transport.
Yes. Yeah.
What was the certification you said to be looking for?
The Center for Pet Safety. So, it is so eye-opening. The more I've learned, the more I just like now I can't unknow what I now know, right? Where a lot of pet travel systems actually increase the danger and risk to our pets of physical injury, and not only to our pets, but also to the human passengers in the car. Because a lot of them, including like zip lines or bungee lines or extension tethers, they can really increase that risk and lots of spinal injuries. And it just actually increases the risk versus even the pet being unsecured or and running loose. So that's where definitely getting one that is certified through the Center for Pet Safety. So they've gone through crash testing with some dummy dogs, and so not real dogs, but dummy dogs and cats, and have been shown to be really effective in a crash. And so it really helps to keep us safe, keeps our pets safe. And God, I love Sleepy Pod for the reason that they just last forever. They're just a great product. And that's what my pets ride in. So my pets, either they're in the harness or they're in the little round bed that I seatbelt into the car.
Yep. It's so cool. Yeah. Like you said, that you can just unzip the top and it becomes their regular bed. It's really, really cool. So, well, we're glad you're going to hook us up with somebody there. Yeah. Get them on the podcast. Well, Mikhail, what is something that we should have asked you about fear-free veterinary care, but we didn't?
Oh my goodness.
We've covered a lot.
We've covered so much. I love learning all of your tips and what you're doing there at the hospital. And I'm just like, what for you has been like the biggest change with Fear Free? Like, what differences have you noticed for yourself and for your clients?
So I'm a school teacher by training. My wife is a veterinarian, and she came home one day and said she wanted to open her own practice. And then she told me that she wanted it to be Fear Free certified. And when she told me about it, I hadn't heard about Fear Free before. When she told me about it, I told her, I said, that sounds really slow. Like, that sounds inefficient. And what I have found is that it's the opposite. I think that we're able to go faster because the pets are excited to be there, and it's cooperative care. So we actually, like you said, aren't having to hold a dog down to do a nail trim. We just don't do them, or we train them. We have to put in the work ahead of time so that when the pet comes in, it's actually, you know, they're presenting their paws and things for trims, for shots and things, just the different techniques. I've never, we've been open for 6 years. We've never scruffed a cat here. That was a big change for me, the way that I grew up when I worked at a vet office. We just scruff them and stretch them. And I realized how I was damaging the emotional relationship between me and those cats, right? And so those have been real eye-opening. I can't imagine going back to doing any of those things. It's just a totally different way of providing veterinary care, and one that I really enjoy now.
I mean, the one that I think of is obviously working with our CSR team and being in the lobby so much. Just
quiet.
When I don't have a lot of experience with other veterinary. I wasn't a good pet parent before I started working here. I think my dog had gone to the vet twice in 5 years, kind of situation. So I just thought that every practice is like this. And so sometimes now when I go into another clinic and walk into the lobby and there's dogs barking and people sitting there waiting, and you can just see everyone's tension, and the cat is freaked out because there's a dog giving the stink eye 3 feet away. I can't imagine it gives me hives to try to think of taking Maverick.
It increases your FAST score.
Yeah, my FAS goes up just thinking about taking Maverick and having him sit in that kind of environment. That to me is our lobby is there's no chairs. The only reason you're in the lobby is to walk in, to go down the hall, to transit the lobby, to go to the hall toward one of your exam rooms. And sometimes they don't even come in the lobby. They just come in through the exterior door.
Yep. To the exam room. So
that's.
I love that. God, those are great. Thank you so much. It just makes my day. And I love hearing about that. And it really does make such a huge difference. And it's just a difference you can feel. And it's like, not only for the pet guardian and their pet, but really the veterinary team, the whole, it's a completely different atmosphere.
Yep. Well, we appreciate all the work that you've done, the training videos and basically, you know, being an advocate for Fear Free to anyone that'll listen. So we appreciate you joining the Family Pet Podcast today to talk about it.
Yeah. Shout out the two websites again.
Oh, yeah.
That you shared again, because the material that you have on the websites that our listeners can just go and spend hours researching. And it's not. Some of them are 2 minutes, 4 minute videos.
People are like, well, you're not really. Stop talking, Stephen. Let her promote the website, Stephen.
There are dozens of 2 and 3 minute videos that you can cumulatively spend.
There you go.
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you so much for that. So fearfreepets.com if you are a professional and are looking to get Fear Free certified. And then fearfreehappyhomes.com is a really great resource for all things training, behavior, pet care. And like you said, it also is vetted information too. So it's something you can trust, which is not always easy these days to know
that
what you're getting
true.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
But and on the social medias, it's all Fear Free Pets.
Yes, Fear Free okay. Pets. And you can also find me individually too under Mikhail Becker.
All right. We'll make sure to put all those links in the show notes. Before we let you go, Mikhail, it is time in our show where we ask you to bring a fun fact to our curious pet parents that are listening at home. This is something that will help them win trivia night or at least impress their friends and family at dinner. So what is your fun fact for our curious pet parents today?
Well, I have a couple of them. Hopefully that's okay.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. So first of all, when it comes to calming music, so it's been shown that species-specific music and classical music can be calming for pets. But what's also been shown to be extremely calming are certain audiobooks. In particular, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was one that showed that was more calming for pets than even some of the music that was played. And then the most calming for dogs was reggae in one of the studies. So reggae music can be super calming and chill for both you and your dog.
Don't try it, Stephen. Don't try to do a reggae voice. Don't do it.
No, I've got the Spotify downstairs in our lobby that I'm going
tomorrow.
They're going to walk in and be like, why is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe audiobook playing?
We have, because we have speakers in every room with a volume control, but we had to pay a license for that since we're publicly playing it. We can do a reggae day.
Yes, we're writing this down. Our team does not know this is coming.
They don't know this. Yeah, we'll let you know how it goes.
Oh, I love it. It's such a vibe too. Like people are like, what is this? But it is. It's so calming. Like I love it.
Well, we're gonna try that out. We will report back to you and let you know how that goes.
Definitely
well,
Mikhail, do.
Yeah.
Wait. But wait. There's more.
Oh. She had another. The other factoid. So people a lot of times know that lavender can be a calming scent, and sometimes they may know that chamomile can be as well. But there are a few others in another study that were shown to be calming, and that included vanilla, coconut, and valerian and ginger. So those are some other calming scents that you can also think about.
We need to find coconut spray for the rooms too, so that way we have reggae
and it smells like
coconut.
And it smells like coconut oil, like with Bill, a total beach vibe. Yeah, going on.
There we go.
Well, Mikhail Becker from Fear Free Pets, thank you so much for joining us on the Family Pet Podcast. We really appreciate your time, and for all you listeners out there, until next time, stay curious. Family Pet Podcast is a podcast for curious pet parents, where we believe the more you know about pet health care, the better pet parent you can be. The Family Pet Podcast is a production of Family Pet Health, PLLC, and is recorded in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The statements made as a part of this show should not be taken as an establishment of any form of a veterinary-client-patient relationship. All comments are for entertainment and educational purposes only, and you should reach out to your local veterinary partner before taking any action on anything that you've heard here today. We hope that you will share this podcast with a friend, and it would mean so much to us if you would take a moment to leave a review and follow wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Show notes, links, and videos to accompany today's show can be found at thefamilypetpodcast.com.